Exodus chapter 7. We're going to complete the chapter tonight. And while you're turning there, I just want to encourage you, please remember that this coming Sunday is when we will begin our three services in the morning, 8 a.m., 9:45, and 11:30. And so I would encourage you also, if you have phone numbers of those who are in the body of Christ, give them a call, remind them. I will say this, if you show up and the service is happening, you showed up early. I'm not going to say you showed up late because there's another service yet to come. So you can just join on in with the next service. And so I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to, having the opportunity to spread out a little bit and have more families get a chance to meet one another and just see what the Lord will do with it, okay? It'll be a good change for us. And so we're thankful for the opportunity to do that. If you still have a desire to be a part of any of the ministry and you want to serve, please don't forget to pick up a ministry questionnaire. If you've already picked one up, the way that process works is in order for you to start serving, you got to bring it back. Okay, you got to get it filled out, bring it back, and we'll get you plugged into the ministries that you would love to be able to be a part of. And so there's a ton of open spaces for people to be involved in. And please remember, you don't have to have all of the answers, or we're here to help equip, okay? And so just sign up and let the Lord lead you, and he'll show you exactly what ministry you could be in to serve the body and be a blessing to others. And so the other thing that I want to share with you, as Bill was mentioning, we received several phone calls when we were in Israel of the passing away of several people within this body. And so Marg, we had the opportunity to have her celebration of life today. But there's another family, part of this body, who lost a son. And so I want us to be praying for the Martin family, and we'll give you information concerning their celebration of life. And it would be a great time for us as a family to love on those that are going through it here within this fellowship and anyone else. This is not, just only for our family here, but the moment you hear of somebody who has a loved one that has passed away, pray and ask the Lord how you can minister to that family. We just need to be there, be present, hug, love, cry. You don't always have to have the words. And today, I didn't have any words other than to let them know that we love them, and we hug them, and we pray with them. And God eventually helps us throughout that whole process. And so, I'm so thankful for the hope that we have in just singing that last song. Amen? Amen. Well, listen, let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. Exodus chapter 7, we're going to begin in verse 8. And I'm going to read a few verses and, as always, pray. And we're going to let the Lord take over. Sound good? Amen. Exodus chapter 7, beginning in verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called his wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. Father, we come before you, and as we go through your word, God, would you please meet us? Would you be the great I am for us tonight, Lord? As we learn and read through even Pharaoh's responses to the many times that you have spoken up and desired for your people to be set free. God, help us today not to respond to your voice in rebellion. Help us not to follow Pharaoh's responses and have a hard heart toward you. God, I pray that we would know, regardless of what circumstances we face, no matter what the scenario may be, God, we come back to what we know, and that is you are good all of the time. That you've conquered over death and the grave, and you are our answer. There's no other answer out there that will give us hope, peace, and joy. So God, please meet with us. Help me to deliver your word tonight. Meet us right where we're at. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as we pick up in our study, we are going to enter into this section that God is going to pour out his wrath, his judgment upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And the last message that we looked at, I entitled it, Don't Be Discouraged. And whenever we follow the Lord, whenever we have a specific calling from the Lord, remember with me, beloved, that it may not always go smooth sailing. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be complications at times. And some of those are just normal responses of life, regular issues of life. But then there's also an enemy that we have that wants to discourage us, but stay the course. And that's exactly how God ministered to Moses. He reminded him over and over again, listen, Pharaoh's not going to let my people go easily. It's going to take me stretching out my hand, me pouring out my power for him to know who I am. And so God was there reminding him, and God will be faithful to remind you when you hit those roadblocks. Lord, I'm doing exactly what you asked me to do. Why can't I go forward? Just be patient. Be still and know that he is God. Because it's in that moment that your trust in him, again, will give you the strength not to jump ahead, but to know that if he has given you a calling or a specific task in his perfect timing, it will happen. So we need to trust him. And now as we're picking up in this next portion of scripture, basically the Lord speaks to Moses and Aaron and he says, it's time to go before Pharaoh once again. And this time God reveals to Moses again, actually this is a repeat, God tells Moses what's going to happen, revealing his sovereignty, revealing that all things he knows of. And he knows the response that Pharaoh will give. But he says, it's time for you to stand before him. And when you do, this is what's going to happen. He is now going to demand a sign from you. You see, no more did Pharaoh want to hear about the God of the Hebrews with just words. He's basically saying, show me a sign to demonstrate the authority and the power of your God. I don't want to hear any more words because your words mean nothing to me. And sure enough, as he, you know, presented this to Moses and Aaron, they performed to him the very sign that God gave to Moses to show to Aaron and also to the children of Israel. And it was those signs that the children of Israel began to believe, man, God's on our side. Let's do this thing. Remember that? They were all excited until Moses went and talked to Pharaoh the first time. And he all of a sudden got upset and made their work harder. And then they stopped believing. But sure enough, Aaron goes and he has the rod in his hand. He throws it down and it says it became a serpent. Many people believe it's a snake. I'm one who believes that as well. But it is interesting. When you look up this word serpent, it could mean a large, listen, water monster. What does that look like? I have no idea. Could have been a big crocodile. I have no idea. But we'll go with what everyone else and what I would believe as well is a snake. But his rod that was wood throw it down to the ground, and right in front of Pharaoh and his servants, it becomes an animal. It becomes a serpent or a snake. So was Pharaoh impressed by this as we went through, you know, verse 11? Really, no. This didn't impress him. You know, it didn't cause him to go, oh my goodness, right? It didn't do any of that. And so what happens in verse 11? Pharaoh then calls, he summons his own wise men, and it says his sorcerers. Now, we don't know exactly how many showed up, but there was more than one. And in the other actual epistles, there's two of them that are mentioned. I can't pronounce their names correctly, so I'll just let you know later what verses we'll find them in. But listen, these sorcerers, I want you to understand what this word means. And it speaks of one who practices sorcery, one who uses or claims to use magical spells to harness evil forces or spirits in order to produce unnatural effects in the world. So it's somebody who dabbles in spells and even demonic forces to bring things into existence. And so these magicians that Pharaoh called upon, it says here in this passage that they did in like manner with their enchantments. Now, this is important for us to understand. They may have duplicated what Aaron just did, but there is a difference in what just happened. What do I mean by this? You and I need to know that Moses and Aaron are no magicians. What they did was a miracle that was performed by God himself. God turned a piece of wood and turned it into an animal. Listen, I told you when I first got saved, I got all geeked out when I found out I was made out of dirt. I'm all like, wow, this is pretty cool. So women, you guys now understand why we're not always there, right? We're made out of dirt. So have some grace. But God did this through his power, his ability to take something that is dead and bring it to life. Isn't that awesome? Because many of us know that we were dead. Though we have the ability to walk and breathe, we were spiritually dead. And it is God who is the only one that can bring us to become spiritually alive. That's a miracle in itself. And so when it comes to the Egyptian sorcerers, these magicians, again, they may have duplicated or imitated what Aaron did by magical deception, by their secret arts, by trickery. Again, not by divine power in a sense from God, but demonic power. And so, however this may have come about, even though these magicians threw down their rods and they became serpents as well, but also notice this, as there was a bunch of serpents, you know, all over the floor, it says that Aaron's rod, Aaron's serpent, then swallowed up all the other serpents. Now, I don't want to paint a gory picture, okay, but I think you guys get the image in your mind. There was a lot of eating going on, okay? But as all of this is going down, even with this one sign, these magicians didn't duplicate that. And so as Aaron's snake or serpent was swallowing up the others, this should have proven to Pharaoh that their God was powerful than their magicians. And yet, even though he saw it with his own eyes, the point that God wanted Pharaoh to see is that your magicians are not on the same level as me. And sure enough, instead of turning his heart to believing, it says here that his heart even grew harder. He didn't take heed. He didn't notice this. He didn't catch that. And so he still felt that the God of the Hebrew people was of no threat. And so now let's pick up in verse 14. Notice what it says. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard, again, revealing his sovereignty, revealing that he knows all things. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood, and the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. So as we look at this next section, the Lord immediately speaks to Moses, once again, I believe, so that his heart wouldn't be discouraged. We went to Pharaoh again, and he's still not listening. And yet God responds immediately by proving to Moses, I already knew how Pharaoh would respond. I know his heart is hard, and it's going to get harder. He refuses to believe in who I am, and so he's still refusing to let my people go. So what does the Lord do in verse 15? He says, now I want you to go back and talk to him again. God gave Moses orders to go. He instructed him, and he told him exactly where Pharaoh would be on the next day. And I want you to see this. In the morning, he will go out to the river. Okay? Now, there's two schools of thoughts here as to why Pharaoh may have gone out to the water. One, many people during this time, especially the Egyptians, this Nile River was the home of three different gods that they worshiped. So it's believed that Pharaoh was going out to worship his god in the morning. That's one school of thought. Another school of thought was that he was just going to have some me time, go take a bath, you know what I mean, before your day begins. So whichever one it was, I believe the last thing in his mind was he was going to see anybody. And yet, as he's heading out, whether to worship or just to take a bath, what does he see? Moses and Aaron. Like, really? I mean, I want you to think about this for a second. Let's just say you are having some conflict with the person, and wherever you go, they're there. But then the next morning, you wake up out of bed, and you get up to go to your bathroom, and they're in there. Like, can you imagine the feeling? Like, are you kidding me? And so I could just picture this going on in that kind of that way. And yet, notice what happens as they're standing there. Maybe they locked eyes on each other. I don't quite know. But notice verse 16. The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you. This is what Moses is telling Pharaoh. My God has sent me to you. I'm not here on my own authority. I'm not here claiming to be somebody. I'm here because God's called me to talk to you. And as he stands there, he says, I got some instructions for you. And what were those instructions? Once again, nothing's changed. God's message stays the same. Let my people go, that they may serve me, or another good word would be worship me. And so, even with the beginning of these instructions, what did God want Pharaoh to know? These people don't belong to you. They're my people. And not only are they my people, but I'm telling you that it's important for you to let them go, that they may worship me. And God even reveals to Pharaoh, I understand and know you have not taken heed. You have not listened to a word that has been said. I know that. And then God does something that I pray we would catch. And he says, because you refuse to listen, God lays out what he's going to do to Pharaoh. He says this, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. What I want us to see, and again, as we go through this study, we're going to pick up and go through 10 judgments, 10 plagues that God is going to bring upon Egypt. And the main reason for all of these judgments and plagues is because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart and disbelief that the God of the Hebrews is the one and only true God. And so we're going to see this statement come to life, because when the Lord said, by this, by these plagues, you will know that I am the Lord. And remember, whenever you see that word Lord, all capitalized, this is God's personal name. You're going to know me for the great I am. You're going to know how powerful I am. And so you're going to see my power demonstrated with each one of these plagues. And we're going to see with each one how they progress, how they get stronger. But again, this is God's hand coming upon the nation of Israel and on Pharaoh. And so what was the first plague that God is going to bring upon them? We see it in verse 17. Notice what it says. Behold, in other words, look carefully. Glance at this for a long period of time, or check this out. I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and the water will turn into blood. He goes on to say in verse 14, the effect of this, the result of me doing this, your fish are going to die. The river is going to stink, and nobody will be able to drink the water because it will turn to blood. So this is what God laid out that he would do before it would even happen, revealing his power, revealing that what he says will come to pass, and there's no stopping it. And so the Nile River, for us, it's important to understand that that was the source of life for all of Egypt. This was, again, you know, the picture that we have, water in the desert is gold, right? You need water to survive. And so this Nile River provided, water for them to grow crops. In the Nile, all of the fish provided food for them. And of course, the other two essentials, taking baths and drinking water. This was their source of life. And so it's, again, also believed that many of the Egyptians believed that the Nile River was home to three different gods. One was Hapi, if I said that correctly, H-A-P-I. But this was the bull god. This was the god of flooding. During certain times of the year, as the Nile River would overflow, of course, the overflowing of the water would cause the soil to become rich and good for planting crops and those things. And so they attribute it to this one god. Another god was called Isis. It was the goddess of magic. Didn't know a whole lot about her, and so I didn't want to say things that I don't know yet, but this was a title that was given to her, the goddess of magic. Another god, Kuam, if I pronounce that correctly, was the god of fertility and creation. It was believed that if a woman went into the Nile River, that the clay of this god would use the clay from the Nile River, breathe life into it, give it a spirit, and then place it in the mother's womb, and it would be blessed. That is what they believed. All of this was from, again, their theology or their beliefs in what these gods could do. And so what these gods did was provide life for the people. But notice what God does as he stretched out his hand. There's no more life. The water is not drinkable. The fish die. And it smells really bad. And so This is what God is getting ready to attack. This is the wrath of God being poured out because of Pharaoh's disbelief. And now I want to pick up in verse 19. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over their pools of water, that they may become blood, and there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone." And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 22. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord struck the river. So as we look at this last section, everything that God told Moses to tell to Pharaoh has now come true. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. And notice what it says, that as he put the rod and struck the water of the Nile, he also waved his hand or the rod over the streams, over their ponds, over any of the pools of water that they may have had to enjoy. In every place where water was, it turned into blood. This means even in their households, where there were buckets of water that may have been used to wash their hands or their feet, the water that was in these jar clays would have been more likely for drinking, for cooking with. So in every place, all throughout Egypt, listen carefully, Pharaoh's response to God affected everybody. No longer was it just his problem. No longer was it, this is my sin. His sin of rebellion affected everyone. And so as we look at this, I love verse 20. What does verse 20 reveal? Moses and Aaron did exactly what God said to do. They walked in obedience. You know, one of the things that I believe, if we've studied the word, we know that Moses, after the nation of Israel was delivered, we're going to see it later out in the scriptures, but there was a time when God's people cried out for water. And the first time God told Moses, strike the rock with your rod. Moses walked in obedience, and he did it. And water came out of this rock. Again, in the middle of nowhere, in the wandering of the wilderness. And I want you to think of this powerful picture of how powerful our God is. Do you remember with me when that Exodus took place? It's believed that there was over a few million people, not counting all of the camels and livestock. And when Moses struck that rock, God provided enough water for all of his people, all of their livestock. So don't think it was just this little bucket of water. This is how powerful our God is. But then the second time, when the people complained again, God told Moses, speak to the rock. And here's where Moses made his mistake. Because instead of speaking to the rock, he took the rod and he smacked it against the rock. And God pulled him aside and said, can I have a word with you? Come here. We need to talk. He says, did I ask you to strike it or to speak to it? And because Moses disobeyed, it was that rebellion, that disobedience by him, whatever he was trying to make it more dramatical, whatever, he didn't follow what the Lord said to do. And because of that, he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land. And one of the things that I pray that we would note, that whenever God gives us clear instructions on what to do, beloved, follow it. Walk in obedience to it, even if it doesn't make sense. You and I may not always see the big picture, but when you walk in obedience, when you walk according to God's word, God is the one who opens up the doors for you. And if God is the one who's opening up the doors, then no one can shut it. Because this is God doing the work, not you. And so Moses and Aaron did everything exactly the way God asked them to, honoring him, properly representing him. And as soon as Aaron did these things, it was in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants. Once again, with their own eyes, they witnessed the power of God immediately. The waters turned to blood. Verse 21, the fish died, and there was a bad odor. There was no life, nothing that the Egyptians could salvage. There was not even enough drinking water. So God did everything that he said he would do. And then, verse 22, we see the magicians, these sorcerers, come back out again. And what do? It says that they duplicated once again through their enchantments, through their secret arts, through their trickery. They were able to turn whatever little water they had into red. Doesn't say anything else other than they took whatever they had and they did the exact same thing. Now, can I just, share this with you? Maybe this is just me. I don't know if you had this thought too, but let's just pretend you're Pharaoh. If you and I really want to prove that our God and our magicians are greater than this God who claims to be the great I am, don't you think, at least I would have said to my magicians and these sorcerers, hey, reverse what they did. Don't duplicate it. Reverse it. They turned the water into blood? Bring it back to pure water. The fish that are floating, they're not resting. They're dead. Bring them back to life. Let's show him who we are. But you see, they couldn't. They couldn't do that, even with evil forces, because what God put in order, what God put in motion, no one can stop. And so as we look at all of this, it says in verse 23 that Pharaoh turned away, like this is, again, a waste of my time. He turned away and went home as if this was no big deal. I want you to think about that. He turned away, went home, and didn't do anything. And it tells us very clearly that his heart was once again not convinced, but his heart was hard. Though God did this amazing miracle right before his eyes, it didn't even faze him. And in verse 24, it says that all of the Egyptians began to dig for clean water. This lasted 7 days, according to verse 25. It's a long time. It's a long time. And so, beloved, what is our takeaway tonight from this? Because I think it's important for us to take heed as the scriptures tell us of the examples that are given to us in the Bible. And all throughout the scriptures, we have good examples and we have bad examples. But as believers, we have the amazing privilege and the blessing of reading into the lives of the saints and other people and how they responded when God speaks. And my takeaway for us tonight is this. You and I are going to be amazed. Why did it take 10 plagues before Pharaoh would finally listen to God's voice? All of the destruction that is going to come didn't have to come. And one of the things that I pray that we would understand as God speaks, that you and I would find ourselves more like verse 20 in that we would walk in obedience to what God is asking of us to do. And in those times, beloved, if you harden your heart, if you choose to ignore the things that God is speaking into our lives and into your heart, if you choose to ignore and rebel and walk in disobedience, and if God continues to speak to you about it, this is what I want you to understand. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Out of love, he is going to continue to point you in the direction that he wants you to go. And it is very clear in the book of Proverbs that God chastens those he loves. God is there to speak out to those and correct them and bring them back where they need to be. And all throughout this time for Pharaoh, he completely disregarded, didn't even give an ear. As God was trying to speak and reveal himself, he didn't want anything to do with it. And notice the outcome. Because from this point on, after this first plague, remember, this is not just affecting Pharaoh anymore. It's affecting his people. And what's our takeaway from that? Do you realize that if we choose to live a life of sin, it doesn't just affect you. It affects those around you. It will affect your relationship with your spouse. It will affect your relationship with your kids. It'll affect your relationship with your friends, coworkers. Because when our heart isn't right, nothing goes right. And when we find ourselves continually practicing in sin, beloved, it will hurt other people. And we need to take heed. I don't know exactly how many people were in Egypt, but remember the outcome. No more food, no more fish, no more water to water your garden, no more water for you to drink. Can you imagine the cries of a woman who just had a baby? Can you imagine, this is my livelihood. This is what I live off of. I'm a fisherman. No one can eat this fish anymore. What am I going to do? And all of this came upon Egypt because of one man's heart that was rebellious, stubborn, and hard toward the voice of God. Beloved, I pray that if God is speaking to you today, walk in obedience. Because whatever, Gustav, if I just get married, everything's going to be perfect. Talk to somebody who's been married. It's good. It's not always perfect. When you start putting your hope and trust in other things, we are going to be sadly disappointed because other things will let you down. But I'm so thankful God will never do that. And no matter how bad the situation is, I want you to always remember that God has the capability, He has the power to restore whatever has been broken. He has the most amazing way to bring something that is dead back to life. And can I also encourage you with this? Sometimes people wonder, why doesn't God do miracles today like He did back in the Old Testament? Why don't we see these miracles happening today? The problem is you're not looking in the right places. Because from my viewpoint, I'm looking at about 60, 70 miracles in front of me. You are a miracle. Because there is no way, if you've placed your heart, you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believing is a miracle in itself. And it's a miracle that God has done. Now, don't let that get to your head. Don't go and get a t-shirt. I'm a miracle, okay? But can we agree today to rejoice in the beauty of God and how He set things up to give us life? Can we agree today to rejoice in the fact that He speaks to us and He still wants to give us clear direction on where our life needs to be and what our calling is in our life? Can we agree tonight, beloved, that even in the midst of all of the ugliness that we may see, our God is good and He has a plan and His plan will come to pass? And as we shared today, Marg would have been 90 years old. Today was her birthday. But I can't imagine having a better birthday celebration than to be with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Because that's the hope we have. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You so much for this time. And I want to thank You for Your amazing grace and Your love. And I do pray that we would take heed. Lord, it is important for us to see and learn from examples throughout the scriptures of how to respond, how to live, how to walk in obedience. And I pray that our hearts would also, Lord, avoid those things that we know displease You. Today's a day, Lord, where we want more of You and less of us. Today's a day that we want to rejoice in the fact that You are our God. We get to know You by Your personal name, the Great I Am, Yahweh, the One who saves, the One who has always existed, the one and only true God. And I pray that tonight we would rejoice in that we would come before the Lord with the heart of gratitude and just say, thank You, Jesus, for saving us and for giving us life. We've been blessed, and I pray that God would continue to bless us throughout the rest of our days. In the midst of darkness, He's our great light. In the midst of difficulties and decisions that we need to make, He's our source of wisdom. In those times when we may feel oppressed, going through life issues and trials, the evil that is within this world, may we remember this place is not our home. So until we see Jesus, beloved, let's stay the course. Don't be discouraged. Let our eyes be fixed upon Jesus. And let our lives be a testimony of His goodness, so that others would believe. I pray that we would be good witnesses and that we would represent the Lord properly. So, Father, bless my brothers and sisters tonight. Pour out Your Spirit upon them. Be their strength. Be everything that they will need. As we worship You, Lord, as we continue to open our hearts to You, would You keep ministering to us. Would you continue to show us, Lord, again, those things that you would desire for us to do? We ask, Lord, that as you speak, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. God, we love you, and we give you this night now. And it's in Jesus' precious name. Amen.